and they have to learn how to face, tough things and not be so emotional in the way they go about life, right? There's a certain grit that's missing in the world, right? Men are soft. That's it. Everybody wants to wear purses and paint their nails and live a fairy tale, about their potential instead of get out there in the world and see what they made of.
Are you ready?
Level Up Daily,
the hottest podcast for self-growth
with interviews from the hottest celebrities.
Told her to level me up, told her to level me up, yeah.
Now, your host, DeAndre Evans.
Told her to level me up, told her to level me up, yeah.
It's time to level up.
Now level up.
Yo, what's up, ladies and G's? Much love to those returning and shout out for those tuning in for the first time. I'm your host, DeAndre Evans. And look, if you've been rocking with me for a minute, you know the vibes. You know how we get down on this side of the table. And for those tuning in for the first time, I want to say thank you so much for hitting the play button. I appreciate y'all for tapping in. Much love for everything and all the support. However, today, normally I say I got a special guest, but I feel like it's even more, significant today because I'm sitting down with one of the world's greatest new world thought leaders. You know what I'm saying? Someone who's an entrepreneur, an author, designer, public speaker. And when I say he's no rookie when it comes to leveling up, I mean that, managing multiple companies. He's the man behind some of the world's greatest conversations today. You may have seen him on Drink Champs, Revolt, Sway in the Morning. You may be talking to Dame Dash or Joey Badass. Hell, you might even already follow him on social media. You never know. However, this guy is very knowledgeable about what he comes across as. He's very fluent and across many verticals from self-development, AI, metaverse, financials, and so much more. And today he's here to have a high-level conversation. And I must say, y'all, the altitude up here is a little different. I can't wait for it, to dive into it. And so go ahead, grab your snacks, cut the volume up as I introduce my guy, 19 Keys. What's up, brother?
Man, it's a blessing to be here, man. I appreciate you, good brother.
Definitely, definitely. It's an honor. And I love how everything is coming about. It's a beautiful Friday, man. I'm not sure where you based at right now.
LA.
LA. Okay, cool.
The sun ain't came out here yet.
Oh, man. So it must be super early there. It's shining.
The sun on vacation for a few days out here for some reason.
Oh, man. Hopefully I can push some good vibes your way there and get the sun. We actually based in Detroit right now. And I heard that you was here for tour and everything. So hopefully you had a great time, came out and had a ball. But, since it's Friday, what I like to do is, man, I always like to do like a flashback Friday type vibe. I'm pretty sure you're familiar with that term. And, have people get a chance to know 19 Keys a little bit who may not have heard of you. And so if you don't mind, I'm going to open up the floor to you, and let them know who 19 Keys is and how did 19 Keys, begin this path of greatness down here.
I'm a thought leader, man. I'm a thought leader. First of all, thank you for having me on. I'm a thought leader, entrepreneur. Some consider me to be a revolutionary, a leader of our times, but for the most part, I'm a creative. I'm a change maker. I'm a curator of a new culture, and that's a culture that's defined by values, rather than one that we have now, which is devalued, everything that I've been able to accomplish over the last years is because I've always believed that, this is part of what I was destined to do, with my voice, with my talents, with my skills. So been able to create a platform, a brand, a movement, behind my thought leadership to the tune of being able to have a global presence, right? Partnerships with my brothers, such as, Earn Your Leisure, where, we've done sellout stadiums and, different countries such as London and Toronto and even more that we got coming up. And I'm currently on my own tour, which is groundbreaking because, a thought leader such as my magnitude and our culture has never done that ever before, especially being able to go back to back to back, and to be able to touch these cities and to sell out these different theaters and things of that nature. It's been a blessing. And, it's just kudos to strategy, right? I believe that anything can be done if you have the right strategy. And so instead of making the same excuses that I see people make about gatekeepers, about the industry, about the system, I just decided to be a solution.
Gosh, that's beautiful, man. I love to hear that and to have people like yourself, man. We need to see more of us, in the spotlight, stepping forth, leading the change and taking that torch. And so I really want to dive into a little things because you said a couple of things that stood out. You know, you talked about your values briefly, but I want to know, what are those values that you carry near and dear to yourself that help you, you know, become who you are and shape you today?
So I always say you should be able to name your top five core values faster than your top five rappers. So for me, you know, it's family, it's respect, you know, it's honor, you know. A big thing is about, you know, not selling your soul, you know, maintaining your integrity throughout all things, you know. Another thing for me is power. You know, we don't also often associate power in this culture, and this is why we don't have a lot of power in this culture, because most men and women don't go for power, right? It's not even a word that we use. Ever since the Black Panthers fell, right, the word power has not been associated with Black people, right? We talk about Black Lives Matter, but that's not an empowering term, right? It's a redundant term because it's just saying something that we already know. But Black power becomes a goal, right? In order for one to say that they've met that goal, then they would have to showcase or actually acquire some power, right? And so, you know, being able to build, you know, a culture based on values sets a framework, you know, to where you have something to stand on. But you can't create a new culture unless that culture has values. And right now, our culture is void of values, right? The only thing that we have now is a shameless culture, meaning that you can do anything and you're told not to be shamed, even though it is the biggest lie, because that's all people do is shame. That's all people do is judge. And that's all people try to do is counsel. For people being human, and those same humans having those same flaws that they're judging others for.
Nice, nice. Definitely. I can resonate with that too. And so, like, as the young 19 keys, if you will, you know, growing up, were you close to your mom and dad, your mother and father?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. And so if you don't mind me asking, I would love to know, because it seems like, you know, they obviously did a great job raising you in terms of like instilling certain values and beliefs in you, and you kind of picked up and pretty much curated your own, you know, path in life. So like, who had the greatest impact in your life and how did that affect your confidence? Was it a combination between the two, or what do you think, it was more your mother or your father?
It's definitely between the two. I spent more time living with my mother, and of course, you know, learning from her. But at the same time, I spent, you know, a lot of time with my pops. Me being a man, I never wanted to be my mother, of course, right? I've always wanted to be my father, or greater than my father. But my mother was always a guidance. I told her this yesterday that, you know, kudos to her. She didn't raise me to where I was overmothered. She didn't make me emotionally dependent. So when I go through things and when I do things in life, I don't feel like I need to depend on her. And that's a way of, you know, you raise a child with balance, right? I think there's a lot of people who feel like, you know, their parents are supposed to be emotional crutches for the rest of their lives. And in the animal kingdom, it don't work like that, right? Your parents raise you to be able to deal with the nature of the world, right? And then after that, you're on your own. You can't come back and ask your parents to hunt for you, right? You can't come back and ask your parents to do things for you. So at an early age, my parents installed the idea deeply inside me that I was a god. And I've been on that journey ever since of understanding, what is that protocol? What does it mean to be there? What does it mean to ascend within self, have that self-awareness, have that knowledge of self, right? And so I give a lot of kudos to my parents because, you know, my father wasn't an avid teacher in the expression of like speaking in the way he was teaching. But at the same time, I was able to study my pops. And studying my father, I can see, when you study your father, you see what's inside him, right? That is inside you, right? Whether it's good or bad, right? Mm-hmm. So when people are having absentee fathers, they don't get to study their father to overcome them, right? Because you inherit the karma of the father is inherited through his children, through his DNA, right? It's epigenetic. So your bad qualities and or traits will be passed down to your seeds. So if I study my father's bad habits, right? If I know his background, then I know what I'm susceptible to and what may be my weakness. Right. So now it lets me know how to customize my life to stay away from certain things so I don't fall into the trappings. Right. And it lets me know my strengths. Right. If he was good in these areas, then I may be qualified to build on those particular strengths as well. Right. So for me, you know, my father wasn't wasn't a person that was just sitting down and playing baseball with me, but he was a person that I can look at and I can study. And I seen that, you know, the things that other men respected him for, right, made me want to have that same level of respect in the world as well.
Right. Okay. I like that. So it seems like he was very observant. And I can tell this based on, I don't know you personally, right, but I see you from afar. And so far in this brief conversation that we have, and I can tell you're very intuitive. So it was like he was very observant. You paid attention to things and you picked up on cues and you kind of ran with it, right? And you applied it to your own walk of life. So, you know, knowing that, because I know you just said like self-awareness, which is a thing that I feel like a lot of people don't really understand or, you know, have, right? So in my mind, I don't know if it's teachable, you know what I'm saying? But I feel like, I don't know if it's like a form of something that's innate within certain people and it just clicks. But at what point did you feel like, whether it was, you know, watching your father, your mother, did you feel like, yo, I got it? Like, it's coming natural to me, or like, oh, it was a ha-ha moment, whatever, that was significant for you to be like, I got this, y'all, watch this, you know?
I don't know if I was ever trying to prove something to my parents. I never had that default. I never had that necessity. I was always trying to prove something to myself, you know, because the thoughts that I had in my head and the expectations that I had for myself, you know, were personal. It wasn't ones that, you know, I was living off the world's expectation, right? So for me, I seen the greatness within myself, right? I think my parents wanted me to go to college and, you know, start a career or, you know, some square path and things of that nature. But for me, I always seen an unorthodox path. I always thought about how will I change the world in some capacity. I remember when I started studying different philosophies and physics and psychology, and I'd be excited about all these different ideas. And I try to explain to them how I'm going to use this in some capacity to change the world. And I'm explaining to them these complex thoughts about quantum physics and shit. And they like, okay, this is cool. But I'm saying, like, you know, how is this going to relate to tangibles, right? And things just couldn't be expressed. And I had a vision in my head to bring out this idea of 19 keys, right? And this entity that can be used as a catalyst for enlightenment, you know, globally, right? And I just had this innate feeling of how I was going to use myself to bring that about, right? So I've never had that desire to prove something to anybody else. Cause I feel like, you know, my whole life, I don't think people ever really saw the true greatness that I ever saw in myself. So I have always had higher expectations for myself than other people have had, right? And I believe that in my sense of overachievement would allow people to see me in the way that I see myself, right? But for me, I already knew I was God body. You know what I mean? So if I see the potential in myself, I'm like, I know I could be one of the top world leaders on this planet. Like, that's a thought, right? But, you know, everybody don't have that thought. And if some people do, they don't have the courage to go on that journey to find out, right? I had the courage to go on that journey to find out. And I still have that courage because I'm nowhere near where I believe the potential of the movement, the brand, you know, the possibilities will be. I'm not at my age all the way yet.
Yeah, no, 100%. I totally agree. I feel the same way, man, about a lot of things in my life. I'd be like, yo, I don't, you know, boast. I'm very humble, you know what I'm saying? But I know what I can do, right? And so for those who are out there right now, who is obviously watching this and watching you very closely, you know, they see how courageous you are. They see how brave you are. But obviously that took some time to build up, even though you knew deep down you had something, right? So how would you advise, you know, that young man, that young woman, to, you know, who's fighting against the world right now, because the world is kind of chaotic, how can you help them in terms of like building their courage? What would you recommend for them to go down that path to find that enlightenment for themselves?
You know, I believe in God. You know, I fear God. A lot of people claim to have faith in God, faith in Allah, but you can't truly fear God, you know, and have faith in God if you have fear in things that are lesser than God, right? Because what you fear becomes your God, right? If you fear God, you will follow the will of God so that you behave in a good manner, so that you're not chastised for going against that will in that way, right? But a lot of people's faith is so weak that they fear poverty, they fear the insecurities, they fear judgment. Those are not things you're supposed to fear, right? So young men and women have to become psychologically whole, and they have to learn how to face, you know, tough things and not be so emotional in the way they go about life, right? There's a certain grit that's missing in the world, right? Men are soft. That's it. Everybody wants to wear purses and paint their nails and live a fairy tale, you know, about their potential instead of get out there in the world and see what they made of, right? There's no way you can test your grit without stepping in the world, without stepping in some shit and seeing who you are, right? For me, I've never been afraid of that. I grew up in St. Louis and Oakland, so I grew up in the streets. I can't give somebody my courage because they may not have to face what I faced. I faced men trying to kill me for zero reason at all, growing up in the streets getting shot at, which could have been like a daily occurrence. I faced going through multiple cases when I was younger and still having the belief that I'm a guy and I can strategically think my way out of this. I faced growing up with an older brother who was a very hyper-masculine street dude, you understand me, that I used to have to go on missions that I always felt I wasn't always prepared for, yeah. Right? I faced having to be in a militant structure of the Fruit of Islam, right? The military branch of Nation of Islam, and growing up in this militancy and sometimes having to go on missions in the streets, you know, and teach grown men from when I was a young age. So all of that were my rites of passage, right? Mm-hmm. You can't get over a fear until you face it, but you don't have to face it all at once. You can face it little by little by little until you fear less of it and less of it, right? But there is no facing fear by turning your back on it. You can only face fear, face forward. And so as a man or a woman, it requires bravery, right? If you want to be the man of your household, right, then your woman has to trust that you can protect her. She has to trust that you have the will and the drive to go get things done. If you take the average person and you say, listen, I need you to get 1 million views on your podcast. And you're like, I'm going to get 1 million views, man. The algorithm, this, that, and the third. And you're like, all right. Right. Well, if you don't get 1 million views this month, right, then you're going to be homeless. I'm going to take your home away. I'm going to take your car away. Or somebody say, I kill you. Or I kill your family. Some crazy like that. Yeah. Now, a person will say, they will feel that they have no other choice but to go and do it, right? So because they don't want the opposite, they don't want the result of the possible consequence of that. We operate off reward or punishment. Right. So it shouldn't take somebody threatening or you possibly losing something for you to have what drive, because that's what it is. It's the drive to go do something beyond what you're currently doing. And people are just not taking their opportunities because they're not cultivating the drive within self, because they're not inspiring a reason to get things done beyond what their current limitations are. So for me, I have vision, which inspires my drive. If I can see it, I want to live it, right? When I see it, it spikes up a feeling and I can see, damn, that'd be amazing to do. So you live it once in the mind, then you go on the journey to live it in reality. But that's enough for me because I have a healthy amount of drive. If a man doesn't have the drive, he has to figure out what inspires him, what gets him going. And then he has to do the things that he doesn't want to do like he loves them. Because everybody is so caught up in their feelings that nobody wants to do the things they hate. Everybody wants to live in a fairy tale level. It's not my passion. I don't want to do it. I don't feel like doing it, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I don't give it. Listen, the world doesn't care about your feelings or emotions. You're going to let these fake gurus tell you that you're supposed to follow the whimsical of the way you feel on a daily basis, and you're going to be impoverished forever chasing an ideal reality that doesn't exist. No, you have to do the things that you hate the most so you can end up doing the things you love the most. I don't always feel like studying. I don't always feel like researching. I don't always feel like taking a call or a meeting or an interview or organizing or whatever it may be. But I do it, right? Because I have to, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not focused on my desires. I focus on my needs. You understand me? And so that's not a limitation of my ability. I can do things that I don't feel like doing, which means I can get things, right, that I normally couldn't get. You understand me? So most people are limited. That fear is an emotion, right? It's an emotion. And you have to ask why. And a lot of people are just not in a healed place to discover what prompted the fear in the first place and how to get over it.
Come on, kids. That's what I'm talking about. I feel like we elevated now. We just warming up. Come on. Hopefully everybody takes some copious notes, man. 119 dropping all these keys that he dropping down, man. I appreciate you again for just hopping on. But I did notice, did you just light some sage a minute ago? Did I see that? You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Okay,
yes,
okay. Good vibes, good vibes. I appreciate that. We need that. We need that. So I definitely, you know, can understand everything you just said, and I resonate with it too, especially in today's market and the culture and everything has shifted, because you do have to pay the price today to pay any price tomorrow if you really want it. And everybody, like you say, don't necessarily have that drive. And so getting around people like yourself or, you know, seeking counsel versus opinion, in my opinion, is always best. I know for me, when I first grew up and got into business and everything, I was like, you know, you excited to get an idea. You're like, yo, mom, you know, check this out. Or you talk to your boys or your sister, whoever. And they're like, oh, that's cool. But then they shut it down. They'd be like, I don't know if you should do that. I don't know if that's really, you know what I'm saying, going to work out. Little Timmy around the corner, try to dang work. And then I thought to myself, I'm like, hold on, I'm talking to the wrong people. Like in terms of business and what I wanted to do. Not because they didn't love me. I knew they loved me, but they didn't understand the vision, right, that God blessed me with. So I had to take that vision and go to somebody else who has done what I've done, right? Accomplished what I accomplished and want to, you know, excel. So I definitely understand everything you're saying. I hope everybody actually caught that. And I want to actually elaborate on it a little bit more because I feel like a lot of people right now, especially like in their time zones and what they're going through, they're having those challenging moments, right? They're having those problem solving, critical thinking, you know, obstacles that they're facing constantly. So how do you deal with those challenging problems? How do you get through, you know, those times where it's kind of tough, but you just, you know what I'm saying, you step strong and you get through it?
Yeah, I remember my why. You know, if you got a strong reason why you do something, you know, it becomes a compass through the storm, right? Like, if it don't matter why you're going through something. I mean, it don't matter what you're going through. It matters why you're going to go through it, right? A man will go through a hurricane to save his family. Because that why is so strong that it'll push him through it. You understand me? And it's the same thing. If you got a weak dream, right? Obstacle that get in your way will stop you from accomplishing it because you're not really connected to it. And a lot of people have dreams that they've sold themselves on that they think they want, but they don't really. They want it because they seen how it looks on somebody else, right? They believe that, oh, I want to be, you know, famous, or I want to be rich, or, you know, I want to be a rapper, entertainer, or this type of influencer because of the way it looks on somebody else. And then they realize the amount of work associated with it, right? And that's going to stop them from accomplishing it because it's not connected to who they truly are, right? When you know who you are, right, then that's what you're going to do with your life. This is what I want to do with my activity, right? This is where all my energy will be applied for life. It don't matter what get in the way of that, right? I still have to get this done. You know, the sun can go out for 30 days. I'm still going to wake up every day and focus on what I believe my belief and my purpose is on a daily basis, because that's who I truly am. But a lot of people don't know thyself. And when you don't know thyself, you are an initiate in this process, but you can never get to the ascension, right? So when you focus on self-awareness, and when you focus on customization and studying self beyond just an astrology sign, right? You know, in your personality types, you know, in your Myers-Briggs construction, you know, in your design type, right? You studying who you are. What is your childhood personality? You know, you're going through that therapy of self and understanding what is your strengths and your weaknesses, right? What are your skill sets and talents? What makes you happy the most? And you develop a vision for life. It don't matter what getting away. Somebody can tell you that's a whack ass idea. And if your validation is based on the judgments of others accepting your ideas, you understand me? That is a flaw within self, right? They didn't come up with the idea. They was never supposed to be the one who validates it, right? I seen a sister she was posting something, Nikki. Does content, and she was saying that there's a lot of people that are self-proclaimed like gurus and things of that nature. And she was saying that the people are supposed to give you that title, right? And I was like, from the perspective and context in which I was looking at it, was like, no, you're supposed to, especially as melanated people, we have to give ourselves the credit before the world does. Now, the world has to agree based on your branding and your results, right? But Muhammad Ali said I was the greatest and before the world ever did. Mm. You understand me? You know, Lil Wayne said he was the greatest rapper alive and everybody put him in a top five, right? Yeah. So for me, the world won't say that you're the greatest. You have to say it, and then you have to prove it, right? And so it's not the same as she was saying this. She talking about the fake gurus who ain't got no results, and we just told them, say, I'm not talking about that.
Right.
I'm not even talking about faking it till you make it. I'm talking about working it. I don't like that term, faking it. It's not fake, right? Because we talk about the law of attraction and all these universal laws, and yet when a person starts to affirm who they are to the world, they saying that that's faking it. No, you have the great potential of any human being is you're calling your potential into existence. You understand? You're making it kinetic by putting motion and action behind it, right? So for me, you know, I said I was the greatest thought leader, and then the world said it. Right? Because now I got to go about proving it. Who's the enemy of my progress? Who's going to stand in my way and say I'm not? Who is the person, you understand me, that is the greatest that I got to knock down out their spot? Just point them out to me. Yeah. That ain't no problem for me. Right? So I don't need the world to validate my ideas. That's an insecurity. Right? You have to let your results validate your ideas. Go on that journey and complete them. And then see what's real. I don't give a damn about what other people agree with. Most people don't even believe in themselves. So why would I care if they believe in me?
There we go. I'm over here taking some notes. Keys, come on with it. I like that. Definitely. So now, you know, you got me thinking about many things that you spoke up on, especially when it comes to like law of attraction. I love to like switch gears real quick because I feel like a lot of people like to talk about this, but they don't really know how to go about it. You know, they talk about it amongst their boys or their girls, whatever. But when it comes to like that third eye, right, that transcending, right, to get to the next level, you know, do you find like any common misconceptions about spirituality? And if so, like, how can we go about dispelling those, you know, when it comes to that awakening? Because a lot of people say, yo, we woke. We out here. But you know what that mean, bro?
And people don't know what nothing means no more. People know what they feel about things. Right? Mm. People cannot define things. You know, and without being able to define things, right, you can't operate in the true purpose attached to that word or the meaning or that entity, right? Words have energetic properties, right, associated with those words, right? So at the root, you want to study the root of a word because you want to study the intent of how that word was world and created into existence. Every word is just a vibration. It's a sound. And when you're taught a certain program, then you associate that sound with meaning, right? So that's what language is, right? But like the word woke, what does it mean, right? Nice. Now, to myself growing up, the word woke was being aware of the matrix, right? Being aware of the system, being aware of the conspiracies, you know, of the planet, things that are true about the world, right? Understanding the government and things of that nature and what's happening around you. It meant your eye was open. You can see things clearly. You took the red pill and you stepped out the matrix. That's what being woke had meant. Now it's a term that's weaponized by, you know, political, you know, parties and their way of, you know, criticizing whoever they want to, but without having to say the real word of like, nigga, they can say woke, right? Or instead of saying gay, they say woke. Whatever they want that word to mean without having to say that word, it has now become a replacement term. So it means something completely different because they start weaponizing things that were good and they use it for negative. That's always been, you know, their way, right? They take a swastika that was based upon enlightenment and then they will use it, right, for death and destruction behind their own propaganda and purpose. Same thing a person say Hotep, which is supposed to be a representation of peace, right? But they say, that's a Hotep, brother. Don't call me Hotep, call me Imhotep, right? That's a builder of the first step pyramids, right? That's a mathematician, that's an architect, right? If you gonna say it, then say it right. If you like ignorant fools and niggas and you deserve the life that you live, right? And that which you attract. So we talk about spirituality, Spirituality is, you know, is living according to the laws of the universe, right? It's a personal relationship with your own ka, your own spirit, your own chi, your own energy, and your possession, right? It's also living, you know, in accordance to your values and your principles and your morals, and using that as a guidance. And it's allowing you to maintain a high level of energy throughout life and not allow things to break into your atmosphere. So religion is basically spirituality with guidance. So here's the rules to follow so you can stay at a high level, right, of spirituality, a high level of enlightenment, a high level of moral consciousness and righteousness. So rules were given to man because the same way we live in a world that is not based on spirituality, it's not based on righteousness, right? You can be a shrewd capitalist and be respected in this world, and you could have made all your money by stepping on the little people. And now that you've made your results and you have the money, you are now celebrated. So in this world, in order to, if you're going to mentor somebody, you got a pupil under you. I say, okay, well, follow these rules so you don't lose your way. Right? Don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal, don't do whatever it may be. So that's supposed to be a guide. So if you follow these, that becomes your discipline because you become a disciple of these rules, right? So now you know why, how you're doing good by following these rules. Man have manipulated religion so many times that they wanted people to follow them instead of the rules that become the guide to their own righteousness that allow them to live at a high level of spirituality in a world that is not spiritual, right? So, you know, people take the law of attraction and they stop there. And that's what most people's problem is. The law of attraction is only one law. The Constitution is not made of one law, right? Right. We're talking about the universe here. The universe has many laws, right? And when you learn the laws of the universe, because the law of attraction is just one, it's you trying to generate thought and vibration and match the frequency so that you can magnetize things towards you that are on that same frequency of thought that you are generating, right? But there's a law of work, right? All energy, all activity is the energy on the planet Earth, right? And so the law of work means that you have to go out there and put yourself in motion, right, to execute. Right? When you see things that are in motion, they generate heat, allowing them to generate more magnetism, right? Allowing them to pull things into the atmosphere, right? But if you can't do that, then I don't care how many times you think about something, you could think about $1 million all day long, all day long in your living room. I mean, you just sit there and do nothing, and all you're doing is law of attracting. I'm thinking about this money, it's coming. You know what I'm saying? I promise you, you're going to be broker by time. You're going to be broker, you know what I'm saying, by spending that time all day. Because your goal is not to think about the money. Think about the plan of what you're going to use in a law of exchange, right? What will I exchange for that which I want? Because if you don't have nothing to exchange, right, you don't have nothing to pour that energy into your cipher, right? There's a law of superior confidence. When you act in superior confidence, then the world reacts and become confident within you because the world mirrors what you project, right? So people are not even operating within the full laws of the universe. They learn one law and they stop there. And this is why they can't command the universe to act in a specific way when they need to, because they don't know which law to use. So if you go to court, you're a lawyer, you're an attorney, you're not going to use the same law for every single case.
Right, right.
You got a gun case and you citing, you know, freedom of speech. And then the judge like, well, what freedom of speech got to do with this? Right. No, you got to talk about the right to bear arms. Mm-hmm. Right? So in each specific thing, you have to be like a spiritual attorney. And you have to know which law to use for the specific case that you're dealing with if you want to win in life.
Okay. So now, you know, I got a whole bunch of questions after this because I need to know all the laws, and I know we ain't got time for all of them, but you know what I'm saying? At least guide us to the right way, Keys. You know what I'm saying? What books, you know what I'm saying, we should be reading, what should we be tapping into? Obviously, we're going to be following you, you know what I'm saying? But where can we start and begin as far as those who want to learn more about it?
I did a really good show with Wall Street Trapper.
Yeah.
He you can come on a tour. You know what I mean? We definitely talk about different laws of the universe. I did a good show with Washington Trapper about the laws of the universe. So in that show, we talk about multiple different laws, you know, that one can utilize. I don't have a specific book to point you to. Besides, you know, jumping into BWO, we go over that as well, which is my, you know, weekly, you know, mentorship. So, you know, we have multiple people in there where we do physical training, we do financial training. So somebody goes over financial training, stocks, wealth planning, you know, how to save, all of the things attached to financial literacy. Then we have physical training. So you want to get your body together. There's somebody that literally works out with you on a weekly basis. And then we have mental engineering as well. And sometimes we go over technology such as AI and Web3 and business and content and things of that nature. So yeah. I would suggest everybody be in the Black World Order. You yeah. understand me? You can go to the BWO. Let me see. I don't even got this up right now.
Yeah, yeah. Lock us in. Make sure y'all tap in with that. I'm going to put all the information down in the description too. So as soon as we get that, we got that locked in. But you know, I feel like it's the year of
my bio. You're going to see the BWO. You know what I mean? Go in there. You know what I mean? Join today. Get tapped in. But other than that, go watch that episode of High Level Conversations and you will be able to, you know, start your journey. And then the rest of it is just studying. Good. You know, go do some research. You type in laws in the universe, you'll be surprised what pop up. You know, you type in law of attraction, you'll get law of attraction. You type in laws of the universe. Now you can start finding different ones. You understand me? So we actually plan on doing a workshop that had got canceled, but it's going to be like a 2-day workshop where we go over the different laws of the universe, you know? Therefore, I can just lay everything out and it'd be like 8 hours or something like that.
There we go. There we go. That's what we need. Laws of the universe, y'all. Start there. You know what I'm saying? Tap in with Keys. Follow me if y'all ain't following. You know what I'm saying? Get that link information. But I feel like this is the year of execution, man. You know what I'm saying? This is what it is. And so, you know, I don't know how much longer I have you, but I won't take up too much time. But I definitely want to talk a little bit about, you know, the mentors that, you know, that are in your life right now, currently, and even those prior. Like, you know, is there one thing in particular that you've taken from your mentors that you hold very near and dear as far as like your journey when it comes to just getting to that next level, whether it's spiritually, mentally, physically, financially, anything that stand out to you that can probably help somebody?
I don't have any in-person mentors that I've been super active with, besides like people that I take their mindset and I study them. Not like somebody that I talk to on a regular, unfortunately. But one thing that I think is the most important thing for me on the journey right now is just healing, right? Most people don't, doing the shadow work, right? We have our, you know, our light self, and we have our shadow self, and we have our dark self, right? That dark self is that secret self that you don't show the world, right? Sometimes people are ashamed of their dark self. That's the part, you know, when just you by yourself that you know of you. You have, you know, your light self, that's the public perception that you put out to the world that you want everybody to perceive you as, right? And then you have, you know, the private self, and that's the one that you deal with friends and family that you let into, right? And what you want to do is try to integrate as much as your dark self and your light self as possible, right? Because you can't deny parts of yourself, because those parts will always be you. And you're going to be making decisions based on that being a part of you, but not understanding why. Right. So people do things against themselves all the time. Why did I do that? I was so stupid, blah, blah, blah. Because you haven't done the work to integrate and have full self-awareness of who you are, which gives you power over self. Right. Denying yourself does not change you. Right. So for me, it's been about healing and doing that shadow work. And I've been doing a whole lot of it. And I can honestly say I feel like I'm in the best space of life, the most disciplined I've been in life, you know, ever. Right. And so, you know, I had to go on that journey, and I'm still on that journey, because there's always more and more things that we need to heal from. There's always more things that we may need, you know, therapeutic outlets from. So it's about going internal, doing that work, changing the perception of self, right? It's about going in and rescuing that inner child that was left damaged, that you're still operating from that place of damage and trauma, right? It's about releasing yourself from the emotional numbing so that you stop doing things like procrastinating all day long because you don't want to deal with the tough emotions of life, right? So for me, doing that healing work is important, right? And whatever you need to do to heal, and you may think you're in a good place, right? Do it anyway, right? So, you know, I see somebody say, yeah, Honorable Elijah Muhammad, you know, was definitely, you know, a spiritual mentor of mine. Same thing, Honorable Minister of our God, right? And all of our great ancestors and leaders. But yeah, man, self-knowledge and self-awareness is key. You cannot be great without them.
Yeah, yeah. So you going down this journey of healing. You say you're currently in it. And I feel like a lot of us are there with you in terms of like going through that path or should be starting it in some way, shape, or form. But, you know, let me ask you a personal question. And, you know, I love to hear your answer on it. Do you feel as though you have any regrets in life that you're trying to, like, you know, heal through and get over or anything personal?
I don't think you're supposed to regret anything. I think regret is a flawed way of thinking about life. Because the state of regret is not accepting things you can't change. That's what regret is. It's not accepting things you can't change. I've accepted that they've happened already. I've accepted that the past self, he could have only made that decision. My current self has hindsight, right? I'm not my past self.
Right.
We have 1,000 lives in one. Every time we advance and we learn something, that's a new life. That's a new self, which means you're going to make a completely different decision than your past self. But my past self had to make that decision. Right now, my future self, my current self, has to decide whether the decisions of my past self is going to benefit me or be a detriment. Am I going to follow a pattern that becomes character, right, that leads me down a wayward path? Or do I learn from it so that it becomes a benefit to the experience that I now have? So the regret is not accepting and being fully aware of who you are. That regret is when you start shoving parts of yourself. Why did I do that? Well, because you were harmed as a child and you didn't know how to deal with things properly. So you have to make that decision. But now you have awareness. You understand, you know, and you learn how to pinpoint why you are the way you are. Now you accept that that's who I am. Now you can change that part of yourself, right? But regret, I think, is a flaw. Understand me? So, and it's almost a trauma. You understand me? Because it's something that you want to change that you can't.
That's big. See, I love to hear that perspective because I never really sat down and thought of it that way. And I don't think too many other people have either. So I think that's very refreshing, is needed. You know,
things are over. We can only move forward. Self-destruction is a habit, you know, of a trauma response. We feel like I'm just going to start off. Fuck all of them. Just start over. That's not how life works. We don't have the ability to time travel in the past physically. We can travel mentally and change the perception of things that happen, which change the corresponding emotion that we have connected to it, which then changes the way that we feel and see about ourselves in the present. So I've done that about my life. I went in the past and I've changed the way that I thought about, you know, I didn't think I reacted the best way in this situation. I didn't think I was tough enough in this situation. Well, I said, wait a minute. That was who you were. You know, that child could have only responded in that way. He's not who you are. So you now in a better place, right? And still connected to where you was. Instead, you know what? I accept. Yeah, I wasn't the toughest back then. Shit, now I am. It is what it is. But it's like, that's who I was. This is who I am. So, you know, for me, that's part of the healing process.
Okay. I love to hear that. And look, man, I commend you for all your efforts and everything you do, brother. I wish you the best on everything too with it. You know, definitely. But, you know, like I said, I know I got you long. So I ask you just a couple more questions that I know people will love to hear, or they going to kill me otherwise, you know, if I don't ask you these questions. But I know you talk a lot about artificial intelligence, AI, things of that nature. And I would love to know, you know, your perspective on it, since you seem to be the one that's dabbling in it the most that I see from afar, that look like us, speak like us, sound like us. You know, how do you think it, you know, well, let me phrase it this way. How do you believe it will shape the future in terms of like the potential benefits and the associated, you know, advancement of everything when it comes to business and personal life?
artificial intelligence, spatial reality, technology, period, you know, is consistently advancing. Man is producing artificial, you know, artificial intelligence, artificial insemination, right? Artificial ingredients. So we got fake foods, fake wombs, and fake minds, right? This is the world of the artificial. There's benefit and there's detriment, just like any technology, right? I teach it, I don't promote it. Teaching it, it's making people aware to give them power over it, because regardless whether you like it or not, it's here. You can't invent something, right? That's the first thing people have to understand. You cannot uninvent a technology. Once it's invented, once it's out the box, it's here, it will be used. It will transform every aspect of society and life, right? And so my thing is teaching people how to use it and how to think about it, right? I think that's the most important, because you can use it however way you want. So it's just a tool. Yeah. But based on your creativity and based on you having a strong mind during this time is very important, because AI can easily be used to manipulate the masses, right? It can be used to a benefit in business to decrease, you know, overhead, increase profits. It can increase effectiveness and output on a daily basis. Case in point, like, let's say with this editing of a video, you can put this into an AI and it will automatically edit the video. What does that do? It decreases time. What is time? It's money. So you just got more time, you just got more money, right? So what are you gonna do with that extra time? That's wealth, right? So that's a wealth transfer, which also means that, wait a minute, you now have the ability to compete with people who you normally have not had the same amount of resources. They have more money, they can hire more people. When you have AI, you can employ and put AI to work. So now your business has more employees than it ever has. Hmm. Now you have creative ideas. Instead of saying, I can't do that, I can't afford somebody, there's an AI that can help you do that, especially on the creative side, right? You have things like ManyChat that have like chat bots that you can utilize to try to increase the conversion rate within your business, right? So when you're talking about it from a business standpoint, it's nothing but the greatest tool, right? From a mental standpoint, you have to be careful of the detriments of how the tools are being used to manipulate people, because you know, that's what people do when they get new tools. That's what society does in a capitalist environment, right? So for me, it's about being creative and utilizing your creative agency and looking at AI and saying, okay, what do I want to do with it? Not what can it do? That's completely different. Look at your business now and say, well, how can I 10X my business by using AI, right? What tools and things that I can make more proficient by using AI? Because AI is like having the smartest person in the world work for you. But if you have the smartest person in the world work for you, what you gonna tell them to do? What you gonna tell them to do? Right? Most people don't know. I don't know what the hell I'm gonna tell them to do. Right? You have to be studied within yourself. You would have to have ideas in order to tell them what to execute. And that's what AI is.
Gosh, appreciate that breakdown, brother. Like I say, I ain't gonna hold you, but hopefully that was enough for everybody to tap into when it comes to AI. You know what I'm saying? I like to do my due diligence and sprinkle in there a little bit, learn more about it. But, you know, I would love to talk more about, you know, a few of your companies and your tour coming up, man. I know you got Goldwater.
Yeah, so with Goldwater, that's one of our products that we have. You know, it is a smart nootropic company. So everything is about, you know, enhancing the mind. You know, people talk about artificial intelligence, right? But you know, our own amygdala, our own hippocampus, our own neocortex, our own brain structure needs to be in order for us to maintain, you know, our ability to learn and develop ourselves, right? So, you know, that's what we like to do here. And, you know, Goldwater. It's only called Goldwater because that's our first product, right? Goldwater is literally colloidal gold, which is gold particles suspended at a micro level, which has bioavailability, means that it can get into like your cells and get into your blood and it electrifies. So we're born with 0.002% of gold within our body. We are cosmic beings. We are an over-chemicalized society and under-mineralized. People often talk about having lucid dreams, increased hand-eye coordination, energy, right? You know, cracking that pineal gland, things of that nature when they are on that gold water. So this is something that the ancient Egyptians used to take in a powder form. So, you know, we brought it back to modern man. It's just some of that ancient science.
Good.
Then we got things, you know, the cordyceps, which is like, if you look at these are cordyceps, but we have them crushed down in a capsule form. So they're what you call adaptogens and functional mushrooms, right? So cordyceps, like if people claiming that they have bad air quality in New York, they should be taking cordyceps. It's going to help with your lung capacity, right? It also has ATP, adenosine triphosphate, which helps deliver oxygen energy, right, to your system. So when you're working out, it's great because you're going to get that enhanced workout, and it's also going to decrease recovery time as well. So I always take these before I work out. You know what I'm saying? I got to keep these rolling just in case I got to slap some.
They come up.
Right, and that's the what we call the sports moss, right? Because it also has sea moss in it, which is good for the lungs, right? And also it's good for just overall wellness and well-being of the whole body. We got the smart moss, which is the lion's mane, which is a mushroom that's kind of shaped like a lion's mane. But what it does, it helps with the remyelination of your brain, of your neurons, which is what is required for them to have what's called a sheath on the axons of your neurons, which allow electricity to flow from one point to another, right? So if you want that clear thinking, you want to have good recall, you want to have good memory, you know, you want to have increased IQ and mental acuity, right? Mm-hmm. You're taking some of that smart moss. It's basically like a Viagra pill for the brain. You understand me? It's like a natural Adderall, but without the side effects.
Okay. Okay. Beautiful. Beautiful. Make sure y'all tap in, man. Y'all heard what he said. Like I said, I'm gonna get all the information down below, put it in the description so y'all can tap in on your favorite podcast platform, YouTube, et cetera. But yeah, Keys, go ahead and let us know about the tour, man. I know you all over the States, man. You everywhere. So let us know where the next location is, why people should be there, man. Let's make it happen.
Well, ladies, we got my brother Larry Morrow. We got Super Scent. We got a bunch of special guests. If you don't know who Super Scent is, you should definitely get familiar with her. Multi-millionaire, iconic sister, has multiple businesses, her own makeup brand. She was famous for doing like $1 million in an hour. You know, she's very amazing. So we're going to sit down with the iconic and we have some very high-level conversations that we're going to be having. You know, we always teach people how to buy land at our shows because we have the April Boys that always show up. You know, we sometimes have entertainment there. Of course, I want to be there delivering some high-level, special quality conversation for the people. But when you get there, it's the energy, though. I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah. It's the
that you leave with. You know, you got to, it's something you got to experience. It's a transformational experience. You come there, you soak up the energy, and you're ready for life. Like, even if you got to fly in, right? So Nolan's going to be one of them. We in Nolan, you feel me? Mm-hmm. Dallas, we got a Know For Sure podcast. So, you know, we got B. Simone gonna be there. We got my brother, Mr. Grateful, who is probably one of, you know, the top emerging in the field of content when it comes to like AI and things of that nature. So you're gonna have a special presentation. I know we got my brother, AJ McQueen. We got Master Investor. You know, we got Aristotle, right? Who's actually Honeybee Drip Network is actually the sponsor of the tour, right? And we got a few other people, but it's going to be very high level. It's not going to be anything better to do in your city on that day, right? So you missing out on this is just disrespectful to your own future. You know what I'm saying? And then, of course, we're working on an LA show. And I know Atlanta keep asking us, They say they want the high level experience. And we may throw Atlanta on there, right? And I might be in Ghana in a couple of weeks too. So if you want Ghana, DM me, hit me up. I might be in Ghana. I see somebody, I got the live. You get to go to the meet and greet. We take pictures at the meet and greet. You get to ask questions at the meet and greet. You know, I meet every single person at the meet and greet at the every single show, right? And we have a after Q&A after every single show. So after I'm done doing the whole show, I take pictures of like 200 people, and then I answer the questions as well for a brief period of time. So it's an experience, it's a vibe. Come out, you're going to see all the highest level people. You know, it's the highest level men and women of your city. So make sure y'all lock in, man. I love y'all. I appreciate y'all.
Definitely, definitely. Y'all know what to do, man. Go get them tickets, man. Go to his website. Hit the link in his bio on IG if you tapped in. Don't act shy. Y'all know what to do. It's high-level conversation. It's the Level Up Daily Podcast. We tapped in together. Again, brother, I appreciate your time. Thank you so much. You know what I'm saying? It's been an honor. getting a chance to meet you and talk to you for a minute. And, you know, I look forward to meeting you in person, doing something soon. So until next time, y'all, much love, peace, and blessings. Yo, what's going on, gang? Tapping back into the podcast. Look, I hope you all enjoyed this episode today with me and 19. Man, it's definitely a conversation that's going to have you have to play it back a couple times to pick up all the keys he was dropping, you know what I'm saying? So listen, if you enjoy this show, if you enjoy the conversation, do me a favor, hop over to your favorite podcast platform, leave a 5-star rating review, let me know what you all thought. And look, make sure you go check out his tour if you haven't already. Make sure you go get your tickets at 19keys.com/tour. All that information is down below in the description as promised. You can find his website, you can find Goldwater, you can search him up on IG and so much more. Make sure y'all tap in, man. Show him some love. Again, thank you so much for those who've been rocking with me since day one. And look, if this is your first time here, welcome to the good side. I appreciate y'all for hitting that play button. It's all good vibes over here. So make sure y'all tap in. Make sure y'all hit the subscribe button if you haven't already. Got a lot more special guests coming on, exclusive clips that'll be dropping here soon. And you know, if you want to rock with the boy, follow me on IG as well at DeAndre_Evans. That's DeAndre_EVANS. Love y'all. Peace.